San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right. Good evening, everybody. My name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you live from KFMB with 50,000 watts of power. We're heard not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, LA County, up the coast of Seattle, down to Cabo, out to the desert. You can hear us free on iTunes if you search for It's Your Money and Your Life. And we are on iymoney.com. All these podcasts are there, so that's a good place to hear us. And now it's time to introduce the main man of the hour. He's a CPA extraordinaire. He's an accomplished marathon runner. He's a best-selling author and a family office expert advising several high net worth families. His name is Richard Muzio. Richard, good evening. How are you tonight?
I'm marvelous, Joe, but I'd have more free time on my hands if your text application wasn't so bizarre.
I don't know what happened today. I think the weather's affecting the technology out there. I was sending you a message and it was somehow duplicating on your phone.
It kept coming and coming and coming, and I kept answering and answering. And I'm going, why? On the assumption that you weren't getting my answers.
And I'm saying, why are you texting me back? Yes to what? And whatever. We got it all figured out. Reboot. When in doubt, reboot. Just like life, I guess.
Yeah, so. but then I tricked you by sending you three messages after you rebooted to scare you.
Yeah, that wasn't fun at all.
I thought it was funny.
First you told me it was fixed and then, yeah, okay. Funny. Well, funny when it's somebody else, Richard.
Exactly.
Anyway, look at the Chargers Thursday night. Looked outstanding. I don't know if you're a big Charger fan, and they say the preseason doesn't mean much, but if you go 0-4 in the preseason, that's not much fun either. But man, oh man, everybody, they kept bringing in the second, third, fourth string. Everyone was doing great. So, and we beat Dallas, and any day you beat Dallas is a good day.
Yeah, it was a good thing. I saw Tony Romo did not play.
No, he did not. But I don't think it would have mattered, to be honest with you. These guys were just, we dominated the whole game. Now, there's talk about a new stadium and...
Still?
Yes. And, you know...
Still?
I love the location where it is, right, with Qualcomm. I don't know why they want to put it downtown, create more traffic down there, but, you know, I'm not a city planner either. But I honestly do think if they want to get this done, we have to talk about what's going to happen with the existing space in addition to the new stadium being built. Don't you agree? Maybe they sell that land and use those proceeds to build a new stadium. I don't know. But
I agree, but I heard there's some oil underneath.
Yes, there is. Yes, and that's another issue. So, but I just...
Maybe we just set the whole place on fire.
Oh, gosh. That's a solution, I suppose.
Yeah, start over.
Anyway, hopefully they'll get that figured out. I'm not sure if did they ever resolve that lot. That's that Kinder Morgan suit you're talking about.
I think
about.
It's still going on. I'm not sure if they resolved it.
I did have a cup of coffee with Mark Fabiani about a year and a half. I'll have to get in touch with him and share some more thoughts. But anyway, nice guy, very smart, and it's you know, I hope they don't leave San Diego. I mean, it would, everyone, you know, you get some of these people say, oh, I don't care if they come or go, but can you imagine tomorrow waking up and no NFL team here? I mean, I think people.
I mean, can you imagine only having the Padres? I mean, we need more than just Triple-A baseball in San Diego.
They're in a rebuilding. They've been playing better. They had a great win, at Minnesota. Where'd they play their night? Minnesota. The guy made a game-saving catch in the ninth inning. We won in the 12th on a home run. I mean, that was great. So they're starting to play ball now. You know, it's the end of the season. No,
it doesn't matter, Joe.
That's how they do it. But anyway, also congratulations to Melissa Biggs and Roger Clark. They're on the cover of the August edition of the Sentinel, which comes out and serves the Mission Hills area. But she just opened a new store there called The Front Porch. But what a wonderful picture of what a handsome couple on the cover, Richard. You saw the picture, right?
He's tall.
He is. This guy's got four NCAA volleyball championship rings for UCLA. I don't think there's too many other guys on the in college volleyball that have four championship rings, you know, in four consecutive seasons.
Quite the dynasty.
Yeah, so that, I don't know how many years ago that was, but anyway, there's, you know, Melissa was she was on Baywatch. Did you know that?
I know that.
And Rush Hour 2.
I met them at the.
That's right.
At the tennis.
The Billie Jean King luncheon event we had. Yeah. And also on Sports Illustrated, or I don't know what for. I'm assuming the swimsuit, but who knows? With the Baywatch, I bet you that was the deal. So anyway, and one other thing, this Wizard of Oz convention is going on in Mission Valley at the Town and Country. It goes through tomorrow if you're interested. The Winky Con. I don't know what a Winky is, but Wizard of Oz is a pretty big deal. You know, Coronado, Frank Baum wrote the books there, et cetera, et cetera. But anyway, enough about that, Richard. We've got some spectacular guests in the studio tonight.
Don't we you? We do.
I guess I will introduce.
Why don't you introduce? He's a loser, but
he's a loser.
We're going to have him on the show anyway.
You know, I haven't really followed that program, The Biggest Loser, folks. But I think it's going into its 16th season or whatever. So it's a very successful franchise, and then I go on find out it's in. I think 20, 30, 40 countries. I don't know. I was going down the list. I couldn't even count them all. And but anyway, in the 13th season, the at-home winner of everybody on the program was a guy named Mike Messina. And he lives right here in San Diego County. And he's in our studio tonight with his beautiful wife, Elisa. But anyway, Mike, good evening. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you, Jeff?
Wonderful. Wonderful. It's an all-Italian show tonight, Richard, huh?
It's all Italian.
What the band?
We get one mustacholi each. That's it.
All I can see is a rabbit with a psychedelic background on your computer screen.
Oh, I don't even know whose that is here.
Yeah,
it's
kind of disturbing.
Why are you hungry now?
It looks delicious.
You know? All right, I'll get your website on it. What is your website, Mike, just so we all know?
My website?
Yes.
Yeah, it's www.sandiegopremiertraining.com.
Okay, let's get that up there. But anyway, let's start at the beginning. You were born in Brooklyn? And
No. I was born in San Leandro, California.
San Leandro.
Just about 5 minutes from Oakland.
Okay.
I know it well.
So you're, when did you first start having the weight problem? Was it all your life?
It started about 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And my stepfather sent me to bed without dinner. Mm. I got a little upset. And I raided the refrigerator that night and kind of never stopped at that point.
Were you sedentary as a kid?
No, I was very active. I was an athlete, one of the fastest kids on the playground.
Huh.
Great arm. You know, I was the kid. I was the one who was going to get there.
Yeah.
But that's not when I started gaining the weight. When I met my real father, I was 12.
Mm.
And he was a truck driver. And he took me out on the road with him in his big rig truck, and he was about 300 pounds when I met him.
Hmm. Wow.
And food addict, smoked about 3 packs of cigarettes a day. And
oh, my gosh.
I wanted to be just like him. He looked like Elvis. He had the chops. He sang like Elvis. Good-looking guy, funny.
And Elvis put on a little weight, too, so.
You know? and I loved him. I wanted him to be my dad. So he didn't want that so much. He wanted a little buddy. And I got upset about it. But either way, I picked up the real food addiction then with him. I gained 50 pounds in the summer.
Was when you were 12?
Yeah.
Okay.
He dropped me back off at home. Went back to his other family. He had 9 kids. 3 were his. 3 were hers before she met him. So, and he adopted the first one. His name was Mike. So he had another Mike Messina at home. That kind of got to me too.
Hmm.
And I got really angry. And
so what did you weigh then by the time you were 13?
I was about
roughly
190.
Okay.
And 13 probably.
And how tall?
5'5".
Wow. So you were
5'4".
You're well on your way to
weight
problem. Yeah.
Yeah. And then it spiraled up.
Yeah. So you were overweight. What's the most you ever weighed?
372.
Wow. At what age?
41.
And then
how old are you now?
44. Okay. Well, 44 on Halloween.
So what triggered the inspiration to try and start losing?
You know, I had tried, excuse me, I have a cold, so I've got a little bit of a raspy voice here.
That's okay.
But,
that's right, the ladies are loving it out there.
A little Barry White going on over here.
You sound Italian. Yeah. Yeah.
So, usually I sound
like... We just
like
had Dr. Love, so it's a good sequel. Go get a cold, gents, and go date your ladies. Find your ladies. Get yourself a nice head cold.
That's hilarious.
I'm getting over an allergy myself, so we can talk at the break.
It's been about a week. I'm hoping it goes away.
Mm-hmm.
What was the question?
Well, what inspired you to finally get it under control?
So you tried and failed like most people do, you know, hundreds of times, lied to myself.
Well, let me ask this. When did you first try to lose weight? Like at what age round?
You know, first that summer with my father.
Okay.
As I was gaining weight, you know, hey, Mikey, we got to cut the carbs out. That's what we're going to do. We're going to lose weight.
So that was like age 18 or 20?
No, I was 12 years old.
12.
So started gaining weight. And the whole thing was that, you know, we were going to work together and he was fat and I was gaining weight and he knew how to lose weight by cutting carbs out, and we were going to do it, but mm-hmm. he was a food addict, and smorgasbords were his thing. Smorgasbords, mm-hmm. gambling, and cigarettes. Mm-hmm. And, it, you know, when you're an addict, you're an addict. It's just the way it is. And one day we'd cut carbs for one meal. Next thing you know, there's the truck stop. Let's go do it again. Well, okay, Dad.
Is your dad still around,
okay,
by the way?
Okay, Dad.
Is your dad still around?
No, he died at 52.
Yeah, you see?
Yeah.
So that must have been a wake-up call, right?
Yeah, and, you know, my father came here when he was 13 from Palermo, Sicily.
Hmm.
All our family lived to be 105, 110.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Live forever.
Huh. 105, 110?
Oh, forever.
You mean the grandparents in Sicily and all that? Or?
Forever.
Huh.
And then... every one of him and his brothers died before they were 70.
His brother had a weight problem too then?
Or? All of them just died of lifestyle-related diseases.
Huh. Interesting. Interesting. Yeah.
The only one that's alive is a midget.
Who's the midget?
My Uncle Mimo.
Oh,
Domenico.
Uncle Mimo. Little he, person.
He, LP. Yeah, LP. I'm sorry. That's politically incorrect. We call him a midget. I apologize.
That's all right.
Uncle Mimo, I apologize. But yeah. And what's funny is the guy smoked his whole life. He's almost 70. He's 4 foot 250.
Oh my God. Wow. What?
Yeah. And wow. He's still kicking and mad as hell.
Oh my God. You got to do a YouTube with him. I think that would go viral.
So right? Mike, what age were you? Mike, what age were you?
I have a great story. We haven't even gotten started.
Good.
Well, we're going to save the story because it's almost back. But what age were you when you hit 300, do you think?
I was 21.
Wow. 21, okay. So all your adult life, you struggled. All right, we'll get into the discrimination and some other things you may have suffered and finally what compelled you to turn it around. But we're going to take a break right now. We're going to come right back with more of It's Your Money and Your Life, the award-winning show, right after this.
There's a place I remember and I want to go back where I'll stop getting...
We're back with more of It's Your Money and Your Life. And we're here with Mike Messina, the at-home winner in the, I think, the 13th season, correct, of The Biggest Loser. Airs on NBC, right?
That's right.
Anyway, where did we leave off? I guess we talked about where you finally decided, well, all your adult life from 20 to 40.
No, 12 to 40.
So, Mike, I want to ask, when you're an adult and you're doing something like trying to go to college or applying for a job, did being overweight have any effect on the way you were perceived by people? Do you think? I mean, I know there's no way to know, but in your opinion?
Oh, absolutely.
In what ways?
Well, first of all, how you judge yourself. And then you emanate insecurity or over-secure. You know, you overcompensate by trying to be overboard. So it's the big people with the big personalities mm-hmm. or the insecure personalities. Yeah.
That myth of the jolly overweight person is a myth. I mean,
it's not a myth. It's a creation. It's a manifestation of disease, inner disease.
Yeah.
Mental disease.
Because, you know, you look in the mirror and you got to say, you know, how am I going to deal with this and how am I going to turn it around? Right.
Yeah. Especially growing up in those times when, you know.
Did you have some close friends, though, that, or were they mostly overeaters like yourself? Or did you have some friends that you could say were closer and tried to be supportive and helpful? Or,
you know, addictive people tend to get into codependent relationships. And, you know, that's pretty much how I spent my life was with people that would do the same things I would.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know?
Generally,
yeah,
or they just didn't have that issue, and we would do other things that were codependent.
So you grew up in San Leandro. When did you move down to San Diego?
I actually just moved down to San Diego in 2012, right after I won the show.
Oh.
I was down here. I did an interview with Whitney Southwick on NBC mm-hmm. on air in the morning show
to promote
the.
The episode.
Yeah, actually the casting call for the next season.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
And I stood in line as the winner and just told the people that, you know, 99% chance you're probably not going to get on the show.
Huh.
But you should continue your journey anyway and not use this as an excuse to not continue to try to find a way for you to, you know, to change your life because this show is not the answer.
Yeah.
You know, I won the lottery.
Huh.
And don't expect to win the lottery. And so I was standing there for hours and hours on my own dime. I drove down from the Bay Area, paid for everything, brought my daughter, and stood there and just gave my best advice.
The contestants were in San Diego to get on the show? Or in LA?
The hopeful contestants. In fact, no one got picked from San Diego for that season. So 400 or 500 people stood there in line. And
in L.A. this is? Or
no, this is in San Diego.
In San Diego, okay.
I went to the L.A. one as well.
Huh.
To, just to be there and to be supportive, because I was excited that I could share my experience and my success with all these people that...
Well, what's the difference? There's the actual winner and then the at-home winner.
Right.
What's the distinction there?
Well, the distinction is 20 people get on the show. Mm. Every week, someone gets voted off. And 17 people get voted off. The final three stay. They fight for the grand prize.
Who votes?
In the beginning, it's a popularity contest.
Okay.
So your teammates vote you off.
Toward the end, it's the numbers, right?
And towards the end, it's the numbers, okay. Right? And one person from each team can get immunity if they would lose the most weight that week.
Mm.
And I didn't lose the most weight the second week, and I didn't win the popularity contest.
But you were the at-home winner, so what does that mean?
Basically, out of the 17 people that were on the show for 17 weeks consecutively,
mm-hmm.
I was voted off the second week. I came back and beat all those 17 people to win $100,000.
Gotcha. You won $100,000.
So you're saying you lost more weight than the 17?
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, a greater percentage of weight loss.
Okay, they go by percentage.
Do they give you the whole $100,000, or do they take the taxes out immediately?
they gave me the whole $100,000.
Really? Yeah. Wow, good for them. Good for you.
No, not really. No. I had to be responsible and pay Uncle Sam. Oh.
Should have called Richard up. He could have helped you out there.
I should have. Had I known in my mind.
What did you do for business or to make money during your life leading up to that? I'm just curious what you worked at.
Oh, where should I start? I was an emergency medical technician. I was a nurse's aide.
Because my question is did having the excess weight really, did it affect your performance in anything that you did?
Everything I did.
Okay.
There wasn't one thing that I did that I did well. I was so awkward.
But I mean, you worked from all the way from 20 to 40, right?
I worked for a day. I worked for a week. I worked for a month. The longest job I ever kept was a year.
Huh.
I hated myself so much that I would always find a reason to quit.
Huh.
I'd find something wrong. And the reality of it, I just couldn't cope. I couldn't cope with the fact that I didn't feel like I fit in. Yeah. You know, I you know, not everybody takes it this way. There's plenty of people that are heavy that are successful that, I've met guys that are 5'4", 250 pounds, uglier than ugly could be. Mm-hmm. And they've got a beautiful woman on their side. Then, you know, they're successful, everything going for them, got all the confidence in the world. How they did it, I don't know.
Hmm.
Me, I was the little teddy bear kid that just couldn't take being abandoned. So I manifested that into, feeling sorry for myself. And everybody takes it differently. Some people get angry, become criminals, drug addicts, whatever it is that they do. My thing was to hide. So I laid in my bed. I laid in the living room and watched TV. And
did you have?
I just gave up.
So as far as your favorite foods, it would be pizzas, anything high carbs,
anything. It didn't matter.
And you go
gourmet.
So, could you guess how many calories you would typically consume in a day? If you had to guess.
You know, it would range from just to maintain 350 pounds, uh-huh. You have to eat at least 4,000 or 5,000 calories a day.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Plus, you can't really exercise, right?
Sure, you can.
But I mean, you can't really, you can't go run 20 miles when you weigh 350 pounds.
Well, you could, but it hurt.
I was going to say, you probably wouldn't get there alive.
Well, let me ask you about sugar addiction. Were you into a lot of colas as well and sweets?
Honestly, I wasn't a big soda drinker. As a kid, I was. My grandparents loved the soda. But later on, it wasn't a big thing for me. I like fat.
Mm.
I really like greasy burritos and the sourdough bread with... lots of cream cheese.
Remember, Elvis used to melt a whole stick of butter and put the peanut butter and banana sandwich and just grill it and then have the grease drip down his arms while he gorged himself.
So what did you do? When you weighed 300, 350, what did you do exercise-wise?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Mm-hmm. You know, the thing about me and the reason that I've succeeded is that I had a little spark of belief in myself. So every now and then I get up off the couch and I go for the gold, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I drive, and I drive hard. And I read in your book, Richard, how dedicated and disciplined you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I would find that for a day, a week, a month. But that was about it. And then I quit again. So those abilities I knew were there. They were dormant. And then I'd bring them to the surface. I'd get excited. I'd manifest this. I'm going to do it this time. This is the time I'm finally going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd find a reason to quit because I didn't know how to
persist.
What? I didn't trust myself. It came down to trust, and I didn't trust the people that I was learning from, that were teaching me. You know, life comes down to trust and belief and faith. And those were all things that I didn't possess because, you know, being abandoned as a kid, yeah, I mean, other problems at home, you know, mom didn't know how to deal with me. Mm-hmm. And my family didn't know how to deal with me. The one minute, you know, you're this great kid that everybody loves and you know, you're singing and dancing and doing the splits and playing sports. And next thing you know, you come back 3 months later and you're fat and miserable and angry. Mm. What's your family do? After a while, they give up on you. So once that happens, the ones that really love you, dad gives up on you, family gives up on you. It's hard to come back from that.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Any good siblings that were able to relate to or not so much?
No, they were all in New York.
Really?
My dad's other family.
Yeah.
So when you tried to lose weight on your own before you did the show successfully, how much would you lose like in a month? What was the best you ever did?
The best that I ever did was when ephedrine was out and, it was legal.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I was drinking a ton of that and I was eating nothing but Jack in a Box hamburgers with no bun.
Oh, okay.
And I lost 75 pounds in 3 months.
Wow.
And then one day I played basketball for 9 hours.
Wow.
And almost died.
Wow. Well, look,
dehydration.
Yeah. There is a positive, folks, stay tuned.
Gets much more positive.
There is a positive side to this. He met his beautiful wife at the show, and we're going to take our break and come back right after news, sports, and weather. So stay tuned and listen up for the good news. Bye-bye. All right, we're back to the award-winning It's Your Money and Your Life, and over to Richard to thank our wonderful sponsors.
Thank you, sponsors. Couldn't do it without all of you. UBS, Mr. Michael Caronta and Drew Freitas, very much appreciate it. Right across the street in downtown La Jolla on Prospect Street, the best business bank in San Diego. That would be Regents Bank with Sean Puckett, Steve Sefton. Our favorite CPAs on the planet, Plato Epic CPAs, Don Epic and Paul Polito. Carl Sheeler with Berkeley Research Group, the best business valuation firm on the planet, helping business owners improve the values of their businesses by understanding the risks inherent in their businesses much better than they ever did before they met Carl. Talking about helping owners, well, in this case, owners of real estate, Joel Grushkin with Cost Segregation Initiatives, helping real estate owners improve their cash flow. Jason Kruger with Signature Analytics, the best CFO company here in town. And last but not least, she's got an event coming up on August 12th, which is in a couple of days. Information on our website. Brenda Geiger with the Geiger Law Offices, Asset Protection and Estate Planning. Also, thanks to Courtney Lover with Popex Graphics, who does our amazing website. And also, I promised I would mention San Diego Premier Training, owned by Mike Diebler. That's where Mike Messina is a health and wellness consultant. But Mike Diebler is my good buddy out of the University of Connecticut, who owns a training facility in Carlsbad on El Camino Real, just ever so slightly south of Palomar Airport Road. And it doesn't matter whether you are like Mike Messina and want to lose 120 or 150 pounds, or if you're an elite athlete and you just want to get a little bit better at what you do, or you're just a regular person who wants to maybe drop one size in clothing and one belt notch. The beautiful thing about what San Diego Premier Training does is they create a workout program with a lot of accountability to help you achieve whatever your goals are. Again, whether you go from just being a regular person to a very overweight person to somebody who's already an elite athlete who just wants to get better, whatever you want to do, he can help custom design something that fits your goals and your needs and make sure you get the job done. So again, Mike Diebler, San Diego Premier Training.
And what were you going to ask me, Richard?
I was going to ask you, besides, did you get your phone fixed? Where can our great listeners find out more about our amazing roster of sponsors?
I thought you'd never ask. If our listeners just go over to iymoney.com, get your cursor over to sponsors. There's a wonderful drop-down menu that Courtney has provided. You click on any one of those, and you'll get all of their background information, all their contact information. And Richard has had much success with working with all of them for many, many years.
So right? In some cases, more than 20 years.
Wow.
Long time.
So these are personal testimonials and personal colleagues. It's not just you know, people knocking down our door to be our sponsors.
Although, absolutely.
So there you have it. And that's the beauty of it. Anyway, let's get back to Mike here. We'll try to focus on the successful side of things on this half of the show. But I wanted to ask you about these weight loss supplements, like herbal products and things like that. Do you have an opinion? I've actually started using, we had a guest last week, and he specializes in, that's one of his products. And, you know, it has curbed my appetite, and I don't know if it's psychosomatic or whatever, but you know, I think I have lost a little bit of weight. But what do you think? Is it safe, or is...
You know, I plead the fifth.
Okay.
Smart man.
Well, you've tried supplements. I mean, you've tried the ephedrine, right? Or anything that stimulates your metabolism. Yeah. I guess caffeine could do the same thing, right?
I mean, yeah, I did ephedrine, which is illegal now, but it was legal then, mm-hmm. and they put it in sports drinks, and it was basically methamphetamine, I guess.
Huh.
It's bad stuff.
Huh.
Yeah. The problem here is you want to lose weight.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
The problem is muscle. As we get older, testosterone goes down, cortisol goes up. You may only weigh 10 or 20 pounds more than you did in high school, but your body composition has changed.
Hmm.
You've lost muscle. So in order to fix your metabolism, you need to build muscle. How do you do that?
Weight resistance training, I guess.
And proper nutrition.
Right.
But the problem with that is most people don't know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then keep progressing. They do it for a little while. They see some results. Great. And then they get hurt or they plateau and then stop doing it.
Well, after age 40, 45, 50, 55, can you still build muscle?
Absolutely.
Really?
Without a doubt.
Now, speaking of testosterone, you hear of people doing these growth hormones and testosterone. I think that's not safe either. I mean,
not monitored by a doctor. It's not safe.
You know, I don't know.
There's programs that doctors do. A lot of the folks in Hollywood, you know, do those things. I have no opinion one way or another about that. Yeah. What I do know is that Jack LaLanne is a perfect example. Mm. The man never lifted a weight in his life.
Really?
No. But he knew how to eat, and he knew how to do resistance training. He would do isometric movements with no weights, and so many different types of circuit training and strength training. And he lived to be, 90, I think?
He hit 90.
And he was pulling boats with his teeth when he was 80 years old. Yeah. So
strong set of teeth.
Yeah, some real strong teeth. The problem is our habitat. We live in a habitat that is not conducive to the human species.
Yeah.
We live in cities that have cars and light switches.
We sit in front of computers all day.
Like
we're doing right now.
Yeah. We're sitting down in front of a microphone. We drive to the store. We don't kill the food. We don't grow the food.
Yeah.
We don't go to the river to get the water. So what's happened to our species is that we're losing muscle because we're not pushing and pulling and squatting.
Yeah.
And in order to combat that, we need to train. And we need to train really hard.
What do you think of yoga and Pilates and things like that?
I think they're great. Yeah. I think they're one part of the equation.
I think yoga is getting more popular. I see more and more people are with the mats.
Yeah, carrying their mats around. Yeah. So anyway, Mike, you got kicked off the show, but you didn't quit. So what were you thinking about when you got kicked off the show?
That for the first time in my life that I wasn't going to finish something I started, something I believed in.
What did you weigh, by the way, when you did get kicked off the show?
I got kicked off the show. I had lost 20 pounds.
You're about 350?
So I started off 372.
Okay.
When I got to the show, that was a week before I started the show. I started dieting before I went on the show, which was a mistake. If I knew how to play the game, I knew how to play the game, I would have gained weight.
Exactly.
And I lost 14 pounds the week before I went on the show. And I started at 358. I got off the show at 338.
Okay.
And then I won the show at 198.
So 240.
So
140 pounds, 338, 140. Yeah,
140 at home, 160 total on the show.
Okay.
174 total.
So you get kicked off, you say, I'm not going to quit. What did you learn things on the show to help you, or did you have to sort of do this on your own?
Or did you seek a consultant or some help to keep going? Or
what I did was I had listened to the doctor, Dr. Robert Huizenga from The Biggest Loser.
Yeah.
And he was the team doctor for the Raiders for 10 years.
Right.
He was the doctor from The Biggest Loser.
Talk about losers.
The Raiders.
he wrote Any Given the book that inspired Any Given Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant man, Harvard graduate.
Okay.
He wants to...
In relation to the Coca-Cola CEO or somebody, there's a guy named Huizenga, same name.
That's Wayne Huizenga, different.
Yeah.
Any relation?
No.
Okay.
Huizenga's father actually was on the Manhattan Project and won a Nobel Peace Prize for that.
Okay.
Whoa.
So there's a lineage of brilliance. And when I'm sitting in the doctor's office But right before I get on the show, I'm doing all this medical testing. I'm looking around and I see all these Oakland Raiders on the, or Los Angeles Raiders on the wall. And my aunt was a cheerleader in 77 when they won the Super Bowl. So as a kid, I was a part of the Raiders franchise.
So you met him as a result of the show.
I'm in the process of getting on the show, and they're doing all the testing prior to the show to see if they're going to kill me or not, right?
Yeah.
And I'm talking to the doctor, and I'm looking at the pictures of the wall on the wall of the Raiders, and he says to me, "Hey, Mike, you know, what happened to you? How come you didn't ever lose the weight?" Well, I don't know. Well, you're built like a football player. Why didn't a coach in high school come and get you and try to, you know, get you in shape and put you on the team? And when he said that, it struck me. It was like, I'm built like an athlete. I am an athlete. This is one of the smartest doctors in the world when it comes to weight loss. Everybody that's ever gone on that show has lost weight.
Mm-hmm.
He was a doctor for the Raiders. He's an amazing guy. I'm going to listen to him. So I listened to every single thing that he taught me. I went home and I did what he told me to do. And then I surrounded myself with fitness professionals. I told everybody in my life that, you know, I'm going away for a while and I'm going to learn everything that I need to learn to fix this, because I'm going to win.
This all happened in San Leandro. You spent your whole adult life in San Leandro. Is that correct?
Well, I was born in San Leandro. This was at Castro Valley, which is 5 minutes away.
Okay.
It's next door.
So you got serious about what exercise and diet at this point? Or?
I immersed myself in the lifestyle. Mm-hmm. I wanted to know everything that there was to know, everything that I needed to do, the accountability. So, you know, you're only as good as the people you hang around, mm-hmm. right? So
yeah.
I made sure that I hung around people that were of high caliber in the fitness industry and learned from them.
So what were like the top one, two, or three things that you found most effective? Was it treadmill? Was it just running? Or what really spurred?
The thing that worked for me, and this is what the doctor teaches, and I like to teach my clients, is that as a morbidly obese person, one of the hardest things that you can do is run.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you would know that, Richard. You know, running is really hard on your joints, especially when you're heavy.
Mm-hmm.
But if you run up a really steep incline,
mm-hmm.
it's super steep.
It's less pounding on your joints, right?
Exactly.
I did that this morning.
Huh. So you started doing like hill climbing?
I started running. I started doing hill sprints. Mm-hmm. So the doctor told me run 30 seconds as fast as you can up the steepest hill you can find with the softest dirt and no ruts.
Easy on the body.
30 seconds. You know, the last 5 seconds should feel like you can't go anymore,
right.
But finish anyway. So you get your heart rate up to about 180, just crank it all the way up.
Wow.
Recover for 2 minutes, do it again, do that 90 minutes a day, 6 days a week, strength train 3 times a week, eat healthy, and you're going to lose weight like there's no tomorrow.
Wow, that's pretty radical.
I lost 75 pounds in 2 months.
Wow. Well, that's the other thing, is it's safe to lose weight that quick, but we're going to find out more about that. Let's take a break right now. Come right back with more of It's Your Money, Your Life right after this. We'll be in the home stretch. Mike Messina, winner of The Biggest Loser, the at-home winner, season 13, lost 160 pounds and still in great shape. And he met his beautiful wife on the show, which we'll get into that story in a little bit. But
Mike, question. You broke your neck a little while ago. You doing okay?
Yeah, I broke my neck boogie boarding about 9 weeks ago.
Okay. But you doing okay?
I've rised.
Good.
Thanks to Rise Physical Therapy.
Good. Okay.
No neck brace or anything.
No, I'm doing pull-ups. So. I'm doing clapping push-ups. I'm running, lifting weights.
Good.
And saving other people. You just told us a story.
When you showed up in the neck brace, you shocked me.
I worked 2 days out of the ICU. I was training people 2 days out of the ICU.
Okay.
With a fractured vertebra and torn ligaments.
SanDiegoPremierTraining.com. It's amazing what you can do over there.
Well, big
muscles Kevlar.
Yeah, another big positive that has come out of this, I guess, when you were auditioning or trying to get on the show, you met this young lady to your right, Alisa. So, hi, Alisa. How are you?
Beautiful? I'm good, thank you.
Yeah, why don't you tell us a story of how you met?
We want to hear a love story.
Yes. Yeah, a love story made for the Hallmark Channel.
That's right.
Lifetime.
It's a great story.
Lifetime TV.
Now, your brother had a weight problem.
My brother is obese.
Yeah.
Still, and he, yeah.
5'4", 450
No, he's 450 He's about 6'2", 450
450
And he's the jolly. He's the jolly, yeah. big guy full of love and life. And yeah. bless his heart. I love him so much, and it hurts me to see him.
How old is he, by the way?
He's 48.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay. So, was he obese since he was a kid?
He went through different phases. Okay. He was at one point, but then in high school, he was amazing. He was on the swim team, water polo, you know, opera singer, actor.
Oh my gosh.
He was gorgeous. And then he later gained the weight. And a lot of issues is the same thing as abandonment issues of father and dysfunctional relationships as well in the family. But Mike won season 13, and my brother wanted to try out for The Biggest Loser. And so he came down to San Diego, and Mike was down here promoting the standing in line with all the contestants that were trying out for the show. And so I stood in line with my brother for like 3 or 4 hours. And at the end of the line was Mike, this handsome guy. And I was in sweats and no makeup and hair in a ponytail.
I didn't think she was cute.
She didn't think I was cute at all. I totally took my hair down and put lip gloss on and was trying to work my way in to try to get my brother on the show, as much as try to flirt with him or something. I don't know. So we started talking about my brother and how we can help him. And he told me to contact him on Facebook. And so I did. And then he actually said, can I call you? And he called, he said, did he get a call back? And my brother didn't get a call back. And so we talked about, you know, options for my brother. And Mike was even generous enough to offer my brother to come to the Bay Area for 2 weeks, and he would train him for 2 weeks. And I think my brother kind of lost hope after that. He didn't make the show, so he just decided to continue his life and hasn't tried anything, even though Mike has had several sit-down talks with him since then. Yeah. But Mike and I just started talking on the phone, and we had so much in common. We were both CNAs. We've both worked in the car industry. We are the same age. We have a love for the same music, and we talked and talked and talked
on
the phone.
And I saw her in a bikini. And I had never seen
her. And where were you living
in my life?
Alicia, where were you?
I've been here in San Diego.
Okay,
yeah,
all right.
Yeah, and so he was going to make the video for Biggest Loser workout video in L.A., and I said, well, why don't you come and visit me before you do that? And so he came to visit me, and we've haven't been apart since. And
isn't that great?
Got engaged like 3 months after that.
Wow.
She taught me how to surf once.
Really?
Yeah, we went out to the beach.
Are you a San Diego native, Elisa?
No, I'm from Oregon, actually.
Oregon? But moved here when?
I moved here like 17 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. How long ago did you marry?
We moved, it was been a year, June 22nd.
Oh, congratulations.
So first year of marriage.
Check this picture out.
Yeah.
There you go.
Our picture is, yeah.
Take a picture?
It was a great wedding.
See the picture?
Oh, okay. I don't, because it's not. Oh, there it is. Oh, yeah. Your song. Oh, there the you go.
1950 Chevy coupe.
Isn't
yep.
that
cool? We drove like away in this old car. It was awesome.
That's, yeah. That's Mike's wallpaper on his cell phone, folks. So
it's a great story. And I'm very proud of him. He's so compassionate, and he wants to change people's life. And I love what he does every day. He gets up every day and helps people and trains people. And he's spokesperson for a couple projects, and I just love that he's what he does, and he wants to help people change their lives.
That's a cool love story.
Yeah, that is great.
Of course, all love stories are cool, but that's really cool.
So, Mike, you're getting some calls. I guess you get contacted from probably all around the country. You get people calling you or Facebooking you or whatever, and and then you do a lot of speaking as well. So,
yeah, I'm just starting to pick up the speaking, and I'm so passionate about this, it drives me crazy, because it's an epidemic we're dealing with here.
Well, it is. Are 2/3 of the adults in this country, I think kids too. I mean,
we had General Brahms on from Mission Readiness, who said that, you know, literally 2/3 of the kids in this country can't even qualify physically to be in the military.
Yeah, I think it's like it might be up to 74%.
It's a big number.
Yeah,
I think it's going to bankrupt the nation if we don't do something about it.
Yeah,
what do you think, Richard? This is your
I think your wheelhouse. I mean, when you look at the cost of the additional medical care for people that, you know, employers typically have to bear.
I think we have to attack this like we attacked the tobacco addiction. When the corporate America finally figured it out that it was costing more, we should eliminate this because it impacts productivity. It's a healthcare cost. We should get rid of tobacco as much as we can. And we've done a good job compared to other countries. You know, you go over to Europe and Asia, they're still smoking like heck. And,
We made type 2 diabetes, self-induced epidemic for the most part.
Yeah. Now we're attacking the sugar. I think the beverage industry is finally waking up and coming up with healthier alternatives, I think. I mean, you're seeing any of that, Richard?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, getting vending machines out of schools, having schools plant vegetables. There's all kinds of things going on.
The kids are getting smarter. You know, it takes I think it skips a generation. You know what I mean?
So yeah, the kids are getting smarter.
Yeah, I see more kids getting into sustainability and gardens and heck, in City College they ripped up the lawn and they put in a garden down there. So
how about a fast food? Health food.
Yeah. Well, Chipotle. I just watched the documentary.
You see some things out there now that are like that.
Yeah, Chipotle is. I hate to plug one brand over another, but that guy's whole mission was to create sustainable, locally grown food and present it in a healthy fashion. So, it's choices.
Mike, we're down the home stretch. I got to ask you a question.
Ask me a question.
You're doing consulting now. What do you tell somebody who's starting from like ground zero, who hasn't made any progress at all in terms of their weight issue?
I tell them that their subconscious mind is in control, and that's ultimately the triggers that are sent to the present moment to cause them to be defeated. So people that have tried and failed 10 times in a row.
Because don't a lot of people try and fail many, many, many times?
Many, many, many times. Okay. So the minute that they step into a gym and say, I'm going to do it this time, please help me, ultimately, subconsciously, they failed. Mm-hmm. So when they come to me, I say, listen, are you sure you're ready?
So they got to break the failure habit first or mindset, right?
Right. You need to be so present in order to accomplish the goal that you won't fail because your subconscious mind won't take over and give you these negative signals. Mm-hmm. So it's stopping those negative signals. That's what makes transformations happen, is being in the moment.
Mm-hmm. Now, your diet now, you strictly eat healthy all the time, or do you splurge sometimes and have a Sunday?
I just had a Phil's barbecue.
You see?
You know, muscle needs energy.
Yeah.
So if you have 50 pounds extra muscle on you, you know, you need 2,500 calories per day extra just to maintain that extra.
You don't have the urge to overeat anymore, though, or?
No, not so much, except chocolate.
Okay.
the one thing that I wanted to say, I think that the answer to this epidemic is doctors as personal trainers. You go to the doctor and he says, you know what? Let's go to the gym next door. It's time to work out.
Write a prescription.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, write a prescription.
Yeah, instead of just giving you another pill.
You must walk.
No, I agree.
You must do.
That's where it's at.
They should prescribe RX, you know, do these drills or exercises.
No, he. The doctor works you out because everybody listens to the doctor.
Mm-hmm. True. Right? True.
Now he gives you the pills, you're going to take them.
There's some obese doctors too, though. I mean,
Then they won't be doctors because they'll have to be in shape.
Yeah.
Just my thoughts. I throw that out.
Mike Messina and Elisa.
I'm passionate.
Yeah. Mike, we've got to wrap it right there. Watch. Thank you so much. Winner of The Biggest Loser, season 13, Mike Messina. Get a hold of him if you want to lose some weight. And say hi to Elisa if you get a chance, because she's pretty terrific. Our pleasure. Richard, always a pleasure seeing you. Eric Rubalcava, our sound engineer, thanks for making us sound good. Thanks to Craig Blanke, our con executive, and to Dave Sniff, our programming genius. Next week, it's going to be Scott Slater of Slater's 50-50. We're going to talk about bacon burgers. So you ought to listen on that, Mike. So. Good night, everybody. Have a good week, and we'll see you next week on It's Your Money and Your Life. Go to iymoney.com for all the podcasts. It'll be there tomorrow. Good night.
AM 760 KFMB.
This is Gary, the hard-hitting commercial voiceover guy. I chew up information and spit out facts. GEICO's local agents are some of the greatest insurance experts on earth. They can help you get exactly the coverage you need, and they're backed by GEICO, a company with over 75 years of experience. So working with them will fill you with so much confidence, you'll sound like me, Gary.
Saving money is a lot closer than you think. Stop by or call for a free rate quote to see how much you could save on car insurance. Contact your local GEICO office in Chula Vista or San Marcos.
Look, kid, when guys like us walk into a facility in the morning, we can smell a problem. No one needs to hand us a work order. We already know it. Today, for instance, we need a new gearbox, 6 globe valves, and a dozen ballasts. And when I smell a problem, Grainger smells that I smell a problem. They help me keep this place up and running. Now that's the kind of smell I like. The sweet smell of success. Get it? Got it? Good. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Follow us at 760KFMB.com. 760. Follow the story.